Amen. All right. Well, we'll go over to back over to the book of Genesis, and in chapter number 37. And we've been studying on the life of Joseph, and we're kind of, as I mentioned when I started, Brother Jerry, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you. Reference. Huh? Reference.
1 John 4.
That's right. Amen. Good. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Somebody else this morning, thank y'all for reminding me because I do get off track sometimes. I need to write that somewhere, but I'd still overlook it. Sister Sherry? Amen. That's good. Somebody else this morning, just want to quote Bible verse, 1 John 1:4, as we continue studying and memorizing Scripture and going through. Sister Christina? Sounds good to me. Amen. That's good, Sister. Amen. Sister Debbie? That's right. Amen. That's good. Amen. It's good, too. It's good to remember. Even the, hey, take advantage of the short ones when you have them. Amen. Somebody else this morning will quote Scripture for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Well, 1 John 1:4, it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." What's that verse speaking of? What's it say to you? What do you think that verse is talking about? But Jerry?
Well, I think it goes back to the first three verses and just tells that, you know, God's explaining things to us right there. And, you know, these things that he's told us are joy to our heart.
Amen. That your joy may be full, right? Amen. Full joy. That's right. Amen. You know that verse, and I think it looks both ways. It says, "These things write we unto you." So he's capping off what he's already talked about in the first three verses. But I believe also he's looking forward to the rest of what he's writing. And he's saying, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." The purpose of the book of 1 John. If you look through the book of 1 John, you'll see he says it a few times, "that ye may know," right? "That your joy may be full, that ye may know." We write these. He tells you throughout the book why he's writing it. Different reasons that we may have joy, that we might know that we're saved. And it's good to know. Amen. It's always good to know. It's good to know that I'm glad I don't have to get to Pearly Gates one day and stand before St. Peter and see if he's going to let me in or not. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Aren't you? You know, that's a great thing. You know, people say that thought, say, "Oh, I'm going to go up before St. Peter and he's going to let me in." I tell you, if you're saved, you're going in. Amen. And we know it. I don't have to worry. I don't have to get there and find out when I stand before St. Peter if I get to get in or not. Amen. So that's good. Well, I appreciate you doing that and reminding me and memorizing Scripture. It's good to do. We will continue on and memorize 1 John 1:5 next week. And I encourage you, do it. Get involved with it. You know, it's not for me. It's for you. Amen? And it'll help you. And it'll strengthen you. And it'll give you some encouragement. And you'll be surprised in the times when you don't know you need it. Those verses will come back to you. Down the road, and you'll be like, wow, and that verse will come to you when you need it most. And so it's good to memorize Scripture. All right. Over in the book of Genesis chapter 37, as we've been studying Joseph, now, as we studied through Joseph, we're not just studying Joseph and this as a topic. Okay, I want us to understand that we're looking at the character of Joseph. And what that character and where that character took him and where that character led him and how God used it. Amen. So we've been talking a lot in the last few Sunday schools. We've been talking a lot about Joseph, and we've been looking at the story, and we've been kind of going not verse by verse. So I haven't been spending a lot of time on verses, in particular verses, just on the thoughts laying the groundwork right now for what God was doing and why God did the things he did to get to where we're going to be as we go through this. And we're going to see some great things from the character of Joseph. But this, we've been going over and looking at the types of Joseph and Christ. And you think, you might look at it and say, well, you know, that's just a lot of, you know, a lot of knowledge or not a lot of just facts. But the thing about it is that the Bible does say knowledge puffeth up, but the Bible also tells us as Christians to get wisdom. Amen? And it says, with all thy getting, get understanding. So as we're putting all of this together, God is using it. We're gaining wisdom into the scriptures and understanding of the scriptures that will help us a lot as we go through and as we look at the story of Joseph. Now, we got down in the book of Genesis 37. We got down to the part where Joseph was seeking out his brothers, and he found them. And they saw him coming afar off. Let's look down in Genesis 37 and look down to about verse number 18. And it says, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And understand, it's not just one of them. Amen? It's not just one that's mad or one that's upset. It's the whole group of them. Amen? They're all conspiring against him to slay him. And they said to one another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Amen. And so we see here, as we're looking through this, we see now that his brothers are plotting against him. Okay? They're plotting against him. In verses 18 through 22, you'll see that. And I want you to look with me, if you would. We look at a lot of scripture when we're doing this, because I think it's good to compare scripture with scripture. I want you to look at a couple of verses in the book of Psalms, Psalm 38, 38th Psalm. And so you always just kind of put your little ribbon there in 37, so you always have that marked. So we always come back to there. Which is what I'm doing right now. All right. So Genesis, Psalm 38. Look at verse 19. It says, but in Psalm 38, 19 says, but mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. No new thing under the sun. Even with Joseph and his brothers, as they plotted against him, they were plotting against him, going to reward evil for his good. Joseph was doing exactly what his daddy told him to do, wasn't he? Right? Daddy sent him out there. I have to believe that their hatred for their brother was not hidden, right? I would not think it. I think it was open. I think Joseph knew it. I believe Jacob knew it. And so the fact that he sent him out, that he sent him there, I don't know exactly what he was thinking, but I know he obeyed his father. Regardless, he knew how his brothers felt against him. And he says here, they that render evil for good are mine adversaries. What we're talking about in the book of Psalms here. And he was doing exactly what God told him, what his father told him to do. And he was there looking out. He went so far even to when he was searching for him. He went to the one place, he didn't find him. He could have gone back to his father and said, well, I looked for him and they weren't there. And he could have gone back and given a report to his dad, and that would have been it. But no, he kept looking for him, didn't he? His friend, that man told him, said, I believe they've gone down to Dothan. And he went and he searched for them until he found them. Amen? What did Jesus say? That he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? He came looking until he found. We know the story about, you know, the parable he gives about the 99 and he left the 99 and went to find the one. He did not give up until he found that sheep. Jesus Christ did not give up until His purpose was accomplished. Amen? So they reward him evil for good. And here, that's what it's talking about in the book of Psalms. They were, not only did they plot against him, but they were deliberate. All right? It was not some passion, some heat of the moment thing. They got mad, and so they decided they were going to kill their brother. Amen? They plotted against him. They were deliberate in what they were doing. It was malicious. 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a what? A murderer. It's bad. I wrote down this. It's bad to do evil, but it's worse. It's bad to do evil, but worse to devise it. They plotted. They knew what they were doing. They thought through it. They knew exactly what they were doing. They saw him coming. So not only were they deliberate, but they were cruel in their design. The only thing that was going to satisfy him was blood, right? Is that right? The only thing that was going to satisfy him was blood. The Proverbs 29:10 says, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. Isn't that what the Word of God says? The bloodthirsty hate the upright. Look with me, if you would, over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 17. Revelation 17, verse number 3. Read a few verses here. This is yet to happen one day. This will all happen one day, what we're about to read. And so in Revelation 17, 3 says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Look at verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, drunken with the blood of the saints. All through history, you follow it back, all the way back to the cross, when the first blood was shed, and all since then, there's a trail of blood that's been shed for the cause of Christ. Amen? Amen. Read the book of Fox's Book of Martyrs if you ever get a chance. Amen? Don't read it for entertainment. Don't read it for lighthearted. Because it'll break your heart, amen. If you let it, it'll show you. It'll make you look in the mirror and say, you hadn't gone through nothing. If you ever read that book, if you don't have a copy of it, let me know. I think I got one somewhere. I'll let you borrow it. Okay, remember that, borrow it, amen. Hey, listen, but you ought to read it. It'll show you. There's a trail of blood all the way from the time Jesus Christ died. The world has always hated God's people. They've always shed His blood. The one of these days, woman on the beast says she's drunken with the blood of the saints. Bloodthirsty. The bloodthirsty hate the upright. See, we, and I don't slight it, and I do not slight what we go through as Christians, because we go through hard things as Christians. Amen? We do. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes we are persecuted for the cause of Christ. But I mean, I tell you, there's been folks that have given their blood, have given their life for the cause of Christ. Amen? And it ought to encourage us to keep on going on more and more and more. But we're talking here about his brothers cruel in their design. The only thing that was going to satisfy them was his blood. They hated him for his dreams. They said, behold, this dreamer cometh. And they talked about killing him. And they said, then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. All right? They didn't want, they were trying to stop his dreams from becoming a reality. Remember what his dream was? That they were going to bow down to him one day. Remember that? And they wanted that stopped, and they hated him for it. Look with me, if you would, over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 2, the second Psalm. Psalm 2, look at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Look what it says. Against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Look, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Amen. The Lord shall have them in derision. The counsel of the Lord, the Bible says, shall stand. Amen. Their brothers, they wanted those dreams stopped. They were not going to bow down to him. They said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll kill him. We'll get rid of him. We'll see what comes of his dreams then. Right? It was deliberate. They were cruel in their design. They wanted his blood. They were out for his blood. I want us to understand that. It wasn't just, you know, we just need to get rid of him. They wanted to kill him. So they conspired together to not only to murder him, but to cover it up. Right? Look and see what it says here. In chapter back in 37. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And this is in verse 20 I'm at. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. Well, in verse number 21, it says Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him. He said that he might rid them out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Reuben is trying to save his brother. Now, Reuben, of all of them, had the most to lose, right? Because Reuben's the eldest, Reuben has the birthright, Reuben is the one that has, if Joseph is promoted, if Jacob's plans come true, if Jacob's plans come true, Reuben is the one that has the most to lose in this thing, right? But yet Reuben proves here in another place, proves to be his best friend. But even then, God overruled it, right? Reuben said, don't kill him. Let's just put him in the pit and we'll leave him there. And because Reuben, we found out later, was going to come back and was going to get him out of that pit and take him back to his daddy. But God overruled it. Made sense, didn't it? I mean, made perfect sense to Reuben. I'm going to take care of my brother. But God overruled it. Why? Because we find out later. I don't know where the verse, we'll get to it later on as we go through this. God's plan was to save Joseph. God's plan was to make Joseph an instrument to keep much people alive. See, God doesn't see right now only. And we can only see right now, can't we? And boy, we work hard to get things to where we think they should be because of all we can see right now. But God sees way out here. God sees way down there, and God knows what's coming in our life. Think back. Those of you, a lot of people in this room have been saved for many, many, many years, right? Think where you are today, and think back, even before you got saved, for the things that God, where you should have, I mean, I can think of times in my life where I should have been dead, but God overruled it. Amen? Before I got saved, when I was lost, Brother Vernie, when I didn't care nothing about God, God was taking care of me in my stupidity, amen, in my lost condition, because he saw down to here. You can think now, right now in your mind, you can run back, can't you? And you can think of those things where God overruled what should have happened in your life to preserve you so you could be in this place, and however he's going to use, how much more he might use you in the future. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? I mean, it made perfect sense to Reuben. Reuben was going to deliver Joseph. But God said, nope, that's not the way we're going to do it. Amen? I want you to see here. So let's think about that, and let's think about Jesus. Think about this story of Joseph. He came to his brethren. His brethren rejected him. They wanted to kill him, right? Now, let's look at it in the light of Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus came to his own, but his own what? Received him not. Amen? They consulted against him, didn't they? Didn't they consult against him? Look over in the book of Matthew 21. This is just a picture. It's not. This is a picture of it. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 38. I won't read the whole story here, but in verse 38, it says, we'll look at 37. It said, but last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. They plotted against him. And Jesus Christ, when he came, they plotted against him. Remember what they said that morning there, as Pilate brought out him. And brought out Barabbas and presented him to him and said, what would you have me do? And what did they say about Jesus Christ? They said, crucify him. Crucify him. They plotted against him. Just like in Joseph's life, we can see here where the Jews and the Israelites, they had plotted. We read last week where the religious leaders had sought ways that they could destroy him. Remember that? And they cried, crucify him. They worked the people up into a frenzy. They said, to cry out, crucify him. And they did. They crucified him. But you know what? Jesus Christ, he submitted himself to all of that. Because why? Because it was part of his design to save us. Amen? Amen? To redeem us and to save us. He had to submit to all of that. Came to his own. His own received him not. They consulted against him. They conspired against him. But he submitted to that because it was part of the design of our salvation. Amen. Isn't that good? Well, I'm glad of that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he could have just said, fine. I mean, I just came here to help you, right? I'm best friends you got. I just came here to help you. And you don't want me, you don't want this. Fine, I'll just go back to heaven. Put all in, just, you know, you're on your own. But aren't you glad he didn't? Amen. I'm glad the Jews rejected him. You know what I'm saying? Because that opened up the door for us. Because we were his enemies. We have no claim to heaven, Brother Gary. Zero. Nothing. There's nothing about it. We are Gentile dogs, if you look at it from the spiritual, the religious. Jesus Christ came to save. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Very plain. Amen. But he always has a plan, amen? And he knew when they rejected him. He was looking beyond that, and he knew that, he said, he knew that there was another people that would be grafted in, people that would, a group that had no claim, but yet we were grafted in and became a part of the family of God. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. We're sitting here this morning with hope. We're sitting here this morning looking forward to going to heaven one day, all because Jesus Christ was willing, even though they rejected him, to continue on and to take care of that plan that he had devised for us. Amen. So I see that in Joseph. When Joseph came to his brothers, they rejected him. It's a picture there, and we see it as Jesus Christ did the same thing. So back in Genesis 37, now his brothers are plotting against him. So now we see the execution of their plot. All right? Now here's what they do. So they're plotting against him. So four things they do. They stripped him. They starved him. They slighted him. And they sold him. We'll look at these four individuals, okay? They stripped him. They slighted him. They starved him. They slighted him. And they sold him. All part of their plot. All the execution of their plot. Now look at the first one. They stripped him of his coat. Look down here in verse number 20. They had 23. Genesis 37:23 says, and it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So we see here they stripped him of his coat. Now, look, that was his, that's his birthright. That's his, I called it his badge of honor that he was wearing, right? That's his coat that his daddy gave him, his finery, they took that off of him. They stripped him out of it, took that away from him. I'm sure that it grieved him that they were doing that. Not only that, they were doing it as an affront to their father, right? They knew what their father thought about Joseph. They're doing it as an affront to their father. And no doubt they were probably making sport while they were doing it. I don't know. It doesn't say that. But my guess is they're probably making sport about it and mocking him and talking about him and throwing insults at him and just got caught up and just seized upon him, didn't they? I see a type here of between Joseph and Jesus here. Remember? So they stripped Joseph of his coat, did the same thing of Jesus Christ, didn't they? Right? Let's look over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 27. Matthew 27, verse number 27. The soldiers, Matthew 27, 27 says, "And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe." Look in John chapter number 19. John chapter 19. Verse 23. John 19, 23 says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout." So we see they'd stripped him of his coat, and now they have his coat, and we know the story of what they did. They were taking that coat, and they cast lots for it. They were gambling for it to see who was going to get the coat, because they didn't want to rip it, because it was a fine garment showing his the favor of his father. Same, we see a type here of Jesus Christ, and we see a type of Joseph here as they stripped Joseph out of his coat, and then they took him up. And I saw here, and I thought about this as I was thinking in how that as saints, many times as saints, as Christians, all through history, and you see this, that Christians have been stripped of their privileges and their honor sometimes in this world because of their name in the name of Christ, because they claim all, you know, it's been like that. It's still like that today in different ways that we have our privileges, our honors. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, let's flip over there, it says about us being the offscouring of the world. We don't like that part. You know, we don't want to think of ourselves as that. We don't want to think of it as the way the world looks at us. But this is the way, this is the truth. This is what Paul wrote some 2,000 years ago, and it hadn't changed. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Flip over there if you would with me. In verse number 12. Now he's speaking strictly of the apostles right here and comparing the apostles, but it's still compare. I think it still goes well with Christians in this world, even in our day to day. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 12. It says, "And labor, working with our own hands," this is 1 Corinthians 4, 12, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Amen? Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things under this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Amen? And we see this. So they were stripping off that privilege they were of Joseph. They were stripping off his privilege. They were stripping off his heritage. They were stripping off his favor. And as Christians, as we name the name of Christ, this world is going to do the same thing to us. They're going to look at us as those Christians, those Bible believers, those Bible thumpers, however you want to call it, right? The offscouring of this world. No different today than it was way back then. So we see they stripped him of his coat. Then they went about to starve him back in Genesis 37. They threw him into a pit. The Bible says it was a dry pit wherein is no water. I don't think they threw any food down in there for him. Amen. They threw him in a pit. There was no water. They didn't throw him any food down in there. They just put him in there to perish with hunger. They took his coat off of him to perish with cold. It would have gotten cold at night. They didn't care about that. They just plotted against him, and they were carrying out their plot. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 12, verse number 10, that the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Remember that verse? The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. So we see here, even in this portion of Scripture, we see another type of Christ here as they put him in this pit. Joseph was cast into a pit, and we know that our Savior, he was placed into a, not a pit, but a grave, a tomb, a cold place, just a place of death, right? We see that type of him. Flip over with me, if you would, to Proverbs 27. Let's look at Proverbs 27. I'm in Psalm. That's why it didn't read right. Like, man, it doesn't look right. Proverbs 27, verse number 4. Proverbs 27, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Isn't that a true verse? Well, that envy has eaten many a man up, many a woman up. Amen? We see his brothers here, don't we? Look, wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? They slighted him. They tried to starve him. Now, I'm sure. Now, I want you to go with me because look in Genesis 42. This is a little bit ahead of where we are now, but I think it's important for us to see this now. This is later on down the road during the story, but I want us to look at this, in Genesis 42 in verse number 21 and 22. Genesis 42, 21 says this, "And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul." So we'd like to think that Joseph, as they threw him into that pit, was just saying, "Okay, Lord, this must be your will, amen." But we see here that Joseph in this time was in anguish. How do they know? I don't. My guess is he was crying out to him, amen. My guess is he was pleading with him. He was begging him. He was asking him, "Don't do this." We saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Amen. "Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." "And we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." This is before Joseph has revealed himself to him. As we see Joseph, as they're trying to starve him, they throw him into this pit. He's crying out to him. He's asking him. He's begging him. not to, but they wouldn't listen. The only one that listened, the only one that cared about him again was Reuben. And he tried to intercede for him, but he could not prevail to get to save Joseph out of that pit. And we see that and we'll get to that portion of scripture later. So we see they went about to start, they stripped him of his coat. They went about to starve him. Next thing we see is they slighted him. When he was in his distress, didn't make a difference, did it? Look what it says in the next verse in Genesis 37. It says in Genesis 37, 24, it says, they took him, cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it, and they sat down to eat bread. Wow. That really just broke their hearts, amen? I mean, they were just so worried about it. We see they slighted him. They weren't grieved for his distress. They weren't grieved for his affliction. While he was no doubt crying out for pity, the Bible says they sat down to eat bread. Remember Jesus Christ on the cross? Remember what happened as they wagged their heads at him and called out to him? And the Bible says they cast lots right there at the foot of the cross. They were casting lots for his coat. Gambling right there at the foot. They weren't worried about him hanging on that cross in distress and dying for the sins of the entire world. Amen? They slighted him. They were thinking, now we're finally going to be freed of this, of our brother's dominion over us, right? And that's what they were thinking. He said they were going to, they said, shall, that back before they said, shall thou reign over us? He would one day, amen? They slighted him. They thought that they were pleased. Remember that over in, I don't want to go back, I don't want to flip over here to it, but remember in Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 10, remember the two witnesses? You know what I'm talking about? The two witnesses in Revelation chapter number 11? And they're crying out and they're preaching against the people and the fire would come out of their would come out of them to devour the people as they tried to harm them or tried to mock them. And the Bible says that the beast finally prevailed over them and slew them, and their dead bodies lay in the street for 3 days. You remember that? And the Bible says in verse number 10 of that story, it says, and they began to be merry. When they saw those two witnesses were dead, say, thank goodness when Christians are... See, this world is not... See, we think about when the rapture comes, and we think about all of the things that are going to, what is going to take place in this world when the rapture comes. You've heard all that before, right? You've put all that together in your mind of, in an instant when every Christian in the world is vanished and gone, and all the turmoil and all the mayhem that'll be on this world, and you would think that they would all be just flocking. Now, if you read Tim LaHaye's books and you watch them movies, they're all flocking to church and getting saved, but that don't line up with the Bible, amen? I'm sorry, but it don't. It might make good reading, but it ain't truth, amen? If you want to just read a good fictional story, it's all right, amen, but it ain't scriptural, amen? But you would think, Brother Vernon, they'd just be flocking to the church. But you know what they're going to say? Man, I'm glad those Christians are gone. That's what they're going to say. They're going to be saying, they're going to begin to be merry. Amen. I am glad that they are, I don't know what happened to them, but man, I'm glad they're gone. They slighted him as they sat down to eat bread. Those that oppose God's counsels, and sometimes they prevail and they win a point, and they think, all right, got one over on the Lord. But you know what? They find out they're just deceiving themselves. Amen. They might, every once in a while, boy, they think, okay, I got it here. God always shows them he's still in control. Amen? Boy, they thought they had Joseph. Got him in the pit, got rid of him. We are not going to bow down to that fellow. It's not going to happen. So we see they slighted him. And then the last thing, we'll finish at this point, they sold him. So a band of merchants, caravan of merchants just happened to pass by, right? Just happened to pass by. Providence passed them by there, amen? I've heard people say, you know, I've heard preachers preach, and I've heard people talk about things happening, and they'll say, well, you know, that just happened. And I just say, well, thank God for the just happens then. Amen? Right? Amen. If thank God for the just happens. I mean, this caravan of merchants just happened to come by. And Judah, of all. Now, Judah is the bloodthirsty one, right? Remember him and Simeon? They killed all of those back in Shechem, Hamor and his son Shechem, and they circumcised all those guys. And when they were sore and couldn't even hardly move around, they came in and just killed every one of them. Remember that? Huh? Might have been. I'd have to go back and look at it. It probably was back in 34. We could look back and see. But Judah, of all of them, comes up and he says, and he talks to him. Let's read down in verse number 25. And so they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Probably got there. You've seen the movie. They probably got those bells jangling on the camels, and clung, 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 clung. They hear them coming, you know, and they're like, and Judah says, aha. Look what Judah says. Judah says to his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother. Well, I love this part. Don't you love this part? He is our brother and our flesh. Well, I loved him. I love that part. Amen. And they were content. And his brethren were content. Caravan of merchants just happened to come by. God sent them by there. Amen. Judah proposed they sell him, and he'd be carried far enough into Egypt where he would be lost and never heard of anymore. We'll just send him. They'll just take him down into Egypt, and we don't have to kill him. We won't have to do nothing. We'll just send him on down there, and we'll never see him again. I love that part. He is our brother and our flesh. But you know, even in that, there's a type of Christ. Even in that, look. When they said that they mingled their, how did I word it here? They had hypocrisy. Even in their hatred, they were hypocrites. Look at let's look in the book of Matthew. Back in 27, Matthew 27 again. We'll finish up right here. Matthew 27, verse 35 says, and they crucified him. Matthew 27, 35. I hear you still flipping there. 27. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. Sat down, watched him die. Look in John. Chapter number 18. Verse 28. Verse 28 says, Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. They didn't mind getting rid of him. They didn't mind sending him to Pilate. They didn't mind. They wanted to crucify him, but they couldn't go in that judgment hall because they wouldn't even be able to eat the Passover. Hypocrisy. Verse 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your laws. The Jews therefore said unto him, It's not lawful for us to put any man to death. Hypocrisy. Amen. Trying to, in their hatred of Jesus Christ, they were still hypocrites. And their hatred for Joseph, you see here this type of them being hypocritical and saying, he's our brethren and our flesh. So they sold him. They stripped him. This is the execution of their plot. They stripped him. They starved him. They slighted him. And they sold him. Judas said, "What profit is it if we slay our brother?" And I want to stop right here because I want to get into a little bit more of this next week. And I got enough right here that I could not get finished and probably take 10 minutes or so to finish this up. But Judas said, "What profit is it if we slay our brother?" They were looking at it. So all of a sudden it went from, "We'll kill him, we'll get rid of him, we'll say some evil beasts have desired him," to all of a sudden, "Wait a second, we can make a little money off of this too." Amen. What profit is it if we kill him? Let's sell him. We get rid of him, he goes, and we get the silver. What a deal. Amen. We'll see a little bit more about that next week. All right. Amen. All right.